So she doesn't know what the challenge is. Oh, and you weren't here. Miles was not here. Okay, so who wasn't here that is here? This is not a trick question this time. Oh, okay. Let's reintroduce our challenge. Let's do our business first. Welcome. My name is Jill. You all know me, so let's just get rolling. The books for tonight, so we have no program assistant. She's not even sick. She's at a show or something fun. Linda, yeah. And then Hetty was filling in, and Hetty's sick. And I'm like, I got it. Just stay home. So did I show you how to be happy? The book. You already know how to be happy. You've been here 3 weeks. This is number 4, so if you don't know how to be happy yet. So Lama Zopa Rinpoche, nice little gift size. So this is a good one. So among the free donation-only ones, I try to bring one in each week. This one is Freedom Through Understanding. So the Buddhist Path to Happiness and Liberation, sensing a theme here. So this is not for us, as we repeat all the time. It goes to the archive. And that's on the rack that spins. So if you haven't checked that out, check it out. Door to Satisfaction, yet again. Got some happiness cooking. Lama Zopa Rinpoche. How to Free Your Mind. So this is Thupten Shodron. Who has heard of Thupten Shodron? Yeah, a couple. So she's on YouTube. This is a really good one. This is a really good one. This is a nun that you can check out on YouTube and listen to her teachings. So if you've done that yet, there's lots of, like, Pema Shodron, Thupten Shodron, and all the teachers you've heard us mention. You can go on our website and see them. You can watch their videos and their teachings. So it's pretty cool. So she came here before. She's amazing. She's been a nun for a very long time, and she started an abbey in Washington State. So wasn't I tell you last week our rebel nun is there getting some less rebel training to how to be less rebellious? That's not negative. That's sweet. Another one Thupten Shodron wrote, Taming the Mind. So you can have a look at these. I don't have lovely Linda, so would lovely Miles put these on? How about that desk? Just a little tidbit. We don't really talk about this stuff in here, but now that you're almost ready to graduate, some protocol is nice to know. If you're like me, you kind of want to know what to do when in Rome. So we don't put Dharma books on the floor. We have racks and tables, and then we never point our feet, it's the queens we, to the altar. So if you're stretching out, just sort of turn to the side. Because if you know, don't you want to know? Like, you want to know what the protocol is, because you don't want to do the naughty things that everyone else goes, ah! So we try never to scold people, but I think it's nice to know those little facts. All right, so we've got, I think it's a fun night. Posture, chocolate, tea. I forgot to tell you what tune into your wave is. I'm just going to say that. Just imagine, you can imagine it, but it's actually happening, that all the radio waves are here for all the channels. Country music's up here, rock and roll, got a little reggae, we got some alternative music, indie rock. It's all cooking. Now, what happens when you tune into your radio and you say, I only want indie rock? You're tuning into that, but it doesn't mean the other ones aren't there. Yeah, pretty cool, huh? So it's like it's all happening, and with meditation, you're trying to just take that channel that you want. Yes. Oh, mani padme. That's what my daughter and I do every time we hear a siren. All right, what's next? The great toilet paper debate. So, Miles, this was Which Way Do You Roll? So we had a strange discovery that only... She's not here tonight, is she? Our under person isn't here. I needed her to be here. She was only one. Oh, see, it's unusual, isn't it? We're not judging your ex-wife, just that it's...
It's okay.
It's okay. We can, but we're not going to. We're capable, but we're not going to do it because we've learned. Everyone else was an over. So we're going to start with our tough cookie in the back. Tell me your name again. Oh, we don't have a mic person. Julie, would you be the mic person?
Okay, I'm Mike.
You're Mike? In all these years, nobody's ever done that. That was good. That was really good. So you grab Mike right there. Give him a hug. Turn him on. Push the button down for a few seconds till the light turns green, and then pass it to Sharon. We want to hear from her. So Sharon has decided that that task might be too difficult for her. To change the task was to roll the paper the other way and see how your mind worked.
Yeah, I didn't do it.
Did you change it for her?
No, we made an
agreement. You would have suffered.
We made an agreement for me to do something different.
Okay, what was your thing?
I didn't think it through that I would be asked to state this publicly, but I agreed that I would wear a bra more often, and I did. So,
I love that this is being recorded and streamed.
Yeah.
But they can't see you. Nobody. They can only see me. So.
I really don't. But, like, anyways, you know, you go through the car line, you're over 40, you don't care
anymore.
You don't
care, yeah.
And so he was like, you've got to do something hard. And I said, okay, I'll do this. And I did.
And you did?
Yeah, I did.
Did you make it?
Yeah.
I mean, you're here.
Yeah, I kept that promise. So, but yeah, the toilet paper was not happening.
It's off. Mm-mm. Off the table.
Yeah.
All right, so who was it a piece of cake for? Let's start with you guys. Okay? We got one here, and then we can, and here. That's all. That was easy. No big deal. Okay, who wants to say something about how that was no big deal? The neck.
I actually learned something because of the configuration of my bathroom. The paper actually tears more easily if I turn it the other way. Now, when the roll ran out, I turned it back the way that I'm used to it, but it wasn't so bad.
It wasn't
really,
so bad.
It really wasn't.
You didn't do nothing.
I didn't have an aneurysm. No, I was okay.
Okay, good. She learned something. Who else wants to say something about it? Julie? She didn't do it last week, but she knows what we're talking about.
I know. Me and my friends had a conversation about it, and I told them I never actually thought about it, and why would you care in the first place?
We were looking for you last week. We didn't have many people who didn't care.
I'm like, Einstein didn't even know his own address. He goes, it's in the phone book. If I need it, I'll look it up. So I'm like, that would be a question. Okay, you're going to meet Einstein. What question are you going to ask him? Which way do you put your toilet paper?
Probably not. Yeah, it's just like the whole idea was to, well, let's see. Let's find somebody who kind of didn't really like it but did it. We have anybody here who... Okay, Angela.
So I didn't actually turn the paper, but what I did was my partner is an under and I'm an over, and I always change it. If he puts the roll on, I can't stand it, and I turn it over, but I didn't do that. Jeez. I left it the way he put it on there. So
Did you need to tell him that you were doing this, or did you just keep it silent?
No, I didn't say anything because he wouldn't notice either way. It doesn't really matter. But... I thought about it every single time.
Which for a girl is a lot.
But I left it alone. I managed to do it.
And you're here.
And I'm here, and I lived through it, and no hospitalization, no major catastrophes befell anything.
Anybody else? Did you want to say something?
I didn't like it.
Oh, yeah, let's hear from you.
There you go.
We want a whole mix.
I lived through it.
You're here.
But I noticed it every single time, and it irked me just enough that I'd think about it for 3 or 4 additional minutes. But I left it, and I did switch it back to how it
needed
to be.
How long did you make it?
I think yesterday or the day before that.
Most of the week.
But every single time I noticed. And
isn't that
it was
funny?
It was irritating.
Okay, so then you have to tell us what's all that about. Unpack it.
Well, to start engineering-wise, it's the wrong way because it doesn't tear correctly.
But hers tears better.
That's hers.
That's her bathroom.
I don't like how it looks aesthetically. Well, it bothers me.
Aesthetics? Okay.
The fact that, like, for me, that's not how it's supposed to be, and it was at my house, so I needed it how I needed it to be. All of it bothered me.
Okay. That's exactly...
I claim it.
Yeah, you own it. So I found out that the patent does have it rolling over. But that doesn't really, and we try not to say, but that doesn't really mean anything because what was the whole point?
To not be irritated by it.
Yeah. And why?
Because.
She doesn't even want to say it. She's like, I leave my bath. You know, you look like you're 5 years old right now.
I'm in my bathroom a lot.
Well, we lived together.
Oh, there. You didn't care. Okay, grab it.
Oh, I just didn't care. It didn't bother me. I thought it was going to bother me a lot. Like, I really thought.
So
like,
you
this
really
gonna
thought
be
it was going
to
bother
the
you.
Hardest thing ever. And then I thought about it every time, but I was like, yeah, it's still coming
See,
off.
That's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you're not there yet. That's okay. So we've got this, we always use this timeline. Have we done a timeline in here yet? Here's where I just nick my finger, paper cut, lose your arm. There's a lot in between there, right? So you got to find your line of what you can take. And you don't go, I am ready to lose my arm for others, for other beings, but I might get a paper cut for somebody else, or I might get a cut. You know, you have to find your line. Nobody's saying do something because it's the right thing to do. It's like, how can you stretch your mind so that things don't bother you too much? Because then you take that piece of information and you use it somewhere else so that we're tolerant. You're on the wrong side. See, look, I'm not tolerant.
Way
to go. Yeah, I mean, we just need to be things a certain way. That's why we talked about pet peeves. And I'm giving you that name for your next pet, Colin Peeves. Hey, Peeve. So that you remind yourself that when you want things to go your way, it makes for a difficult mind. And so whatever you practice, you get better at. So you're told by the time you're 90, that role is just like, it's going to be right there. But you want to, that's the whole point, is by the time you're older, we're getting more and more set in our ways. It's not like we really get looser. Venerable Tendrin looked at me one time when I was just talking about either starting to forget things, you know, menopause was just starting then, now it's already over, and she said, is as good as it gets. And I went, oh my God, it's just only going to go downhill from here. Not in a negative way, just like there is the peak, you know, of our mind being, so the young ones' minds are brighter and bolder and ours are fading. That's nature. So whatever we practice, we want to be, who do you want to be when you're older? Do you want to be that scary old woman that's afraid of everybody? I'm not saying you're going to be a scary old woman. Or do you, you know, but if we practice certain things, it's harder. It's just harder for us. So thank you for partaking in it. But does anybody have anything else to say about toilet paper? Yes? Laura, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's got the shirt.
Now, I wasn't actually here, but I listened on streaming last. Yeah. Now, if you would have said, you know, having toilet paper versus not having any at all. I think, you know, that would have been the arm, you know.
Well, we did talk about corn cobs.
Yeah. Oh, we did talk about that. Okay, so I missed that part. But I appreciated that it was there. Oh, it does this funny little dance when it's rolled the other way. So
who learned about their cat? Was it somebody in here? Hey, sweetie. They said that their cat, yeah, Angela said that if your toilet paper's going under, the cat can do this and this and this, and it rips it a little bit, but it doesn't roll off. If it's over, it's going to be like, there's a whole other thing. Yeah. Aaron?
I went to the DMV.
For toilet paper?
No. Like,
oh, I'm like. Oh, this is for mind transformation.
Well, yes, and this is huge for me because okay. I hate bureaucracies and I just.
Who loves bureaucracies before he goes any further? Okay.
That is just like my biggest pet peeve. Like. If I want something done correctly, my main philosophy is you better let me do it myself or you better get the hell out of my way. And it went rather well. I got some coffee. Aww. I was able to catch up on some Netflix 6 hours, but it was a nice...
6 hours? Are you exaggerating? You were at the DMV for 6 hours? Really?
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask what you needed done.
I had to get my vehicle registered, and I also had to, like, move a bunch of stuff over from, like, my parents' name to, like, my name.
6 hours at the DMV. All hail to Aaron.
And I didn't kill anyone in the process.
You didn't kill anybody. Nobody
died.
There's no blood anywhere.
I didn't, like, use foul language. I was, like, you know, very tranquil, so I'm proud of myself.
Good. Let's give him a round of applause. Give it that way. Yeah, mind transformation. We got it going on. That's what it's all about. How to turn, Rinpoche calls it turning problems into ice cream. So it's only a problem because we say, I don't like that. That's why it's a problem. If we didn't say I don't like it, would it be a problem? You know, it's a label. Just like September. You know, where's September? Okay, so let's do what they tell us to do now. Do my job. Okay, we're supposed to do 9-round breathing next. So who tried that? Oh, goody. Did you like it? Did you remember how to do it? Did I forget to tell you guys that these handouts are available online? Did you already know that? Okay, they're available online. So on our website, Kanapa Center, you can, at Kanapa's, I do it all day long, kanapa-center.org. If you go under this course, under the calendar, and then you can find your trail through, all these meditations are there for you to print out yourself. So I think we quit giving them out ages ago. Okay, so you want to do it together? Who doesn't know how to do 9-round breathing? Okay, so I'm just going to do a quick synopsis, and then I'll guide you through this. So they got a long explanation last week, but we'll do a quick one. Basically, you are breathing in three sets of three. So you're going to close. Let's see, we usually do opposite, so we start. How are they going to have us start? Well, I'll just read it. But basically, you're going to close the opposite side, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, three times, and then switch hands and switch sides. And then breathe in, breathe out, and then both, in and out. That's the simplicity of it. So you can do some different things, and we'll talk about, they'll have the visualization. That is just a tough word for me. Aluminum visualization of the straws going up and curving, and then the energy going over the breath and coming around like that. So the reason to do it is because we're taking all this negative energy, or wasted energy, I should say, wasted. So Geshla talked even Sunday morning about every thought rides on energy. And that energy, because a majority of our thoughts are so useless all day long, really, right? I mean, are yours virtuous all day long? Okay. So most of them are just, and because it's not going towards virtue and some of it's negative, a lot of it's just excess energy. And that energy actually resides somewhere. So we want to clean that out. And that's where this kind of bliss-induced state of meditation exists, from having the things be calm and relaxed and clear. So many, many experts still use 9-round breathing before they start their analytical or review meditation or whatever, their concentration meditation. So it isn't a beginner meditation, but it's like chess. You can learn that the horsey moves this way, but to really learn the depth of what the knight does and what the bishop does and all that, it can be much more in depth. So you can take this information and use it for years and years and years and years. Any questions before we start? Okay. So get yourself in your nice, comfortable seated position with your back straight. If you're leaning against a chair, then lean forward a little bit so that you can not just rely on the chair. So before we begin, just place your attention on your breathing. You may count your breath for a minute, or just focus on the sensation of the breath at the base of the tip of the nose. And now create an altruistic motivation. For each meditation, we set a little mini motivation so that we're not just doing this for ourselves and our own minds, but for many beings, so that we become more kind and more wise, and then we're truly able to be beneficial. So begin by visualizing the three psychic channels or tubes within your body through which the wind energy moves. The channels are round and hollow, size of a straw, and very fine, smooth, flexible, and luminous. The central channel is blue. It starts at a point midway between the eyebrows, curves up and back along the inside of the skull, like the handle of an umbrella, and then down along the inside of the spine to a point four finger widths below the navel. The right channel is red and runs from the right nostril back and then downward along the right side of the central channel to the end, 4.4 finger widths below the navel. And the left channel is white and runs from the left nostril down along the left side of the spine and 4 widths below the navel. So imagine that the ends of the three channels join together at the base, four finger widths below the navel, and focus for a moment on this visualization. The center is blue. The right is red. And the left is white. Now holding the left nostril closed with a very light touch of your ring finger, inhale slowly and fully through the right nostril, sending the breath all the way down to the end of the right channel. Imagine the breath flows from the right into the left channel as you move your finger to the other side of the nostril and exhale slowly. Imagine all the impurities such as distraction and dullness are expelled with the breath. And repeat two more times. Don't worry if anything feels a little clogged. It tends to balance out. And when you're ready, reverse the process on the other side, holding the right nostril closed. Breathe in deeply through the left nostril, sending the breath all the way down to the end of the left channel. And as the breath moves into the right channel, move your finger and hold the other side, exhaling slowly and fully through the right nostril. Again, imagine impurities are expelled with the breath. And repeat two more times. And when you're finished with that, breathe in through both nostrils, sending the air down through the right and left channels. And as you exhale, imagine that the breath is expelled up and out through the central channel, with all the impurities coming out at the point between the two brows. And repeat two more times. Imagine that your three channels are completely clean and luminous. And then continue the process with another round. And then finally dedicate your positive energy and insights to the well-being and happiness of all living beings. Anybody have any questions about doing that? Do you like it? Do you feel it settling yourself down a little bit? It also gives you something to do, too. You know, it's a little bit of a distraction that you're focused on that, which is good. We're trying to get the mind to get off all those racing thoughts. So did it seem to help with that, with the thoughts? Good. Okay. All right. So is there anything that anybody wants to talk about that came up this week at home, doing any meditations, any obstacles, anything that's unsettling or positive, like some good stuff that happened to anything? Right behind you. Well, a little bit further back. And say your name.
I'm Kyle.
Kyle.
And last week was actually my first week here.
Oh, okay.
So I forget what day it was, but I tried to go home and meditate some, and I was trying the 9-step breathing, but I was still a little sick, so one of my nostrils was almost completely clogged, and I just, like, for that reason, I just couldn't focus on it at all.
Yeah.
So what I did was I just found one of those, like, YouTube guided meditations instead, and it was about 30 minutes long, I think, and I did that, and it actually really helped.
Good, good.
It was like a anti-anxiety one, so it was like very, I'm like really racy thoughts, so it really helped me kind of like not worry about the thinking and just let it happen and just sort of step back. It was really
That's
nice.
That's great. Yeah, when the breathing is clogged, you know, it's just so hard to do.
Yeah.
Geshe will joke, Tibetans kind of, as I said, they talk about farting and poo, so it's a bunch of boys, right, you know, in a monastery. And so he will talk about clearing the nose, and it gets to be funny. So he calls them, if you have precious jewels in there, you might want to blow your nose first. But if you're sick, it's just going to be kind of tricky to do, yeah. So good for you, you know, you didn't just go forget it. You found something really good and helpful. Yeah. Does anybody else in here struggle with anxiety? Most of us. So this is not part of the curriculum, but sometimes I like to just throw in, it's just psychology 101 basic stuff, but it really helps me. That have you ever heard anybody say that anxiety is not actually a feeling? Because it feels like a feeling, right? I'm feeling anxious is what we say. It's the outcome of a true feeling. So who, anybody in here a counselor? Because I'm going to look really, okay, I'm going to be really raw by just talking basic stuff, but but the true, like, not a true feeling, but I mean, like, the base feelings, mad, sad, scared, or happy. And happy doesn't cause a lot of trauma. So mad, sad, or scared. So if you want to say feeling anxious, if anxiety is arising, you can literally ask yourself, Jill, are you mad, sad, or scared? And self will say, I mean, it will actually go, remember, it's like a 5-year-old a lot of times. I'm scared. And then you have to say, well, what are you scared of? And when it answers, it's pretty easy to get that mind to answer it. It's not that, like, it doesn't try to trick you at that point. It's tricking you all the other times. Answer it, and then usually the other ones are right behind it. And then that makes me mad. And then that makes me sad. And then say why. And sometimes when you bring something to the consciousness, it's not as hidden. Would you say, Laura, that that's a good assessment? Because when it's in the subconsciousness, it feels like it just rules you, and it's just going and going and going and going. And so to get that to stop, sometimes just sitting in meditation can be almost more anxiety filled because the mind, you start to notice it more. So if you want to try that, you can just sit for a second with your eyes open and just ask those questions and then see if you can settle yourself down and then try to meditate. It's just throwing that out there. All right, anybody else? Thank you for sharing. Successes, obstacles. Aaron, wait for the for those millions of people streaming.
I feel my focus is getting slightly better to where I can, like, notice a difference. Like before, like, you know, I started meditating, like, and actually taking classes. But my question is like, I'm still struggling to, like, apply it, and it comes at just the weirdest, most inopportune.
What did
times.
You say? Apply it.
Yeah, apply it. And it
comes life?
Yeah, it's like I just get this intense focus out of nowhere, but when I need it, it's like, okay.
You mean so, like, you want focus, but you can't get it to arise when you need it. Yeah. practice makes perfect. You know, it's practice, practice, practice. And age helps too, but you know, I think a lot of us, when you say like Kyle, right? Kyle, sorry, had racing thoughts. Who has racing thoughts? You know, it's just so prevalent. But a lot of times, I think we think that it's just like it feels. I mean, it is so acute because it's our mind. So it feels like I'm the only one that's having this, and it's not that I'm special. It's just that nobody else could probably be this bad, or this special. Sometimes we just get so self-involved that we feel like nobody else could be this nutty. I mean, I know I feel like that. Nobody knows what that's like. But when you're in a class like this, you realize everyone feels so nutty, Kyle. We're all nutty with you, right? Do you all feel nutty? Yeah, that's why they're here. We didn't just secretly all come in and go, we're all here to support you, Kyle. Even though we are. I mean, we're all here for you, but we're all here because we feel kind of nutty, and we want to have our thoughts calm down. Laura, do you have some? Oh.
Does anyone else feel it's hot?
Okay.
Oh, sorry. It's hot in here. Yeah. My understanding, I like neuroscience a lot, and our left brains are really linear. I've read. I don't know if there's new discoveries or something, but linear means like first this, then this, then this. So like it just throws things in a line. So it seems like it's racing.
But okay, so it throws things in a line, so it feels like it's racing. Is that
well, because the left brain is linear and it's trying to it figures that you have things to do, first this, then the other. You got to get started, you know.
That's a good way to look at that.
But then, like when I'm for me, when I you know get past that after so many minutes, then it stops, right? I mean, is everybody like? Isn't the end of the meditation different than the beginning?
Oh, that's a great way to
say. So you kind of wait out the left brain, good. And it like gets the message like not, you're closed for business right now. And then the right brain is the so if the left brain would be like a book with chapter one, chapter two, chapter three, and then the right brain is like a collage with a picture of everything in your life all at the same time on the same page. So the right brain is holistic and it's eternal. So then it's like I am. That's it. There's nothing to do.
I'm just here.
I'm here. So.
And who is this I, right? That's great. Thank you. That was really cool. So that, you know, the thoughts are going to quiet down because you're going to stop paying attention to them. So that's what you're trying to get here are the tricks to stop paying attention to them. And you do have to trick it. So that's what we're learning is all these tools. So thank you. That was good. All right. So we've talked about the different kinds of meditations, just calming the mind. And so even within a meditation, we have the different phases. We calm the mind first, then we move into it, and then we can go deeper. And then different meditations are different. So there's all those ways to look at it. So in a meditation session, you've heard me say, first we're just going to calm the mind. And what comes next? What's the next thing we talk about? Well, we do use the breath and then to calm the mind. Then what do we do next? Yeah.
I was going to say
the dedication is at the end. So the intention or motivation, those are synonymous. So we set our intention for the meditation, and then we do the actual meditation, then we dedicate it. And it's said to be very power-packed when you do it that way because you say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. I did it. It's kind of simple. But you know, if you wonder why you're doing that, it would be like walking into a room and then forgetting why you're in there, and then you're like, oh yeah, and then you go over here, and it's very distracted. We do that too, right? You just get too many things going at one time. And since meditation is trying to bring those channels in, you want to do that to your meditation as well. You want to make the meditation encapsulated in something very rich. So I'm going to set my intention. Now, you can also do this in your life. So if you sit down at your desk, or you get ready to cook a meal, or you wake up in the morning. This is our teachers tell us when you wake up in the morning, set your intention for the day. Even if you get ready to do a task at work, even not the whole day, but this one thing, you can do this all day long, and it's a quite lovely practice. So one thing, before I was ever a Buddhist, I heard somebody say, before you walk in the door at home, when you drive home, sit in your car for a minute and remember why you want to walk in there. Why do I like these people? Do I like these people? You might want to say first. Why do I like them? Do Do I love them? Why do I love them? I'm going to walk in with, I'm going to bring my love into this. I'm not going to bring my day just, you won't believe what happened, and then blah, it all comes out. You'll have a little more softness, a little more gentle approach. You can still tell your story, but maybe tempered. So that's a beautiful thing you can do. You can just give yourself a few minutes. You know, do you ever go early to an appointment with a book? I always just like to do that. Just sit for, you have a few minutes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you give yourself those few minutes to gather yourself. So that's what you're doing in your meditation. Give yourself a few minutes to gather yourself. And then it does feed over, Aaron, into life, as you asked. It will just start becoming more natural.
It was frustrating, too, because I was talking to this friend.
Oh. Microphone.
I was talking to this friend of my friend's, and, like, I could remember everything about him in, like, spitting detail, but I can't remember what we talked about or what his voice sounded like.
I guess that's just selective focusing, right?
Yeah. Like, you didn't even know what was happening.
Some people might hear a train. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we know that much of what's really going on. You know, you can hear, if you were really getting to be quite a good meditator, you wouldn't hear many things, but most of us are going to hear pins drop because we get so irritated so easy. Like dripping water if there's rain or, you know, and then eventually we're supposed to be able to bring all those things into our meditation and help them actually help us go deeper. Because without any distraction, it's almost like too much, too silent. Have you had that feeling? Too quiet. Nope. Angel's like, it couldn't get too quiet for you, right? Yeah, some people, distraction is much more difficult than others. So you have to just work with that. Okay, so motivation. The role of intention or motivation is determining the nature of our ensuing actions. The practice of setting one's motivation as a practice of training and transforming into a positive direction. So this really will affect your day and your meditations. You're practicing to transform everything you're going to do into something positive. So instead of just like, I'm just doing all day long, you actually can turn something quite mundane into something quite beautiful. So think of some mundane task. What's your name again?
Kelsey.
Kelsey. Think of something kind of mundane that you do during the day.
I don't know. Answering emails.
Answering emails.
Yeah.
Great. Great. So how many people have to answer emails? A lot. So more than half of us. So what if I'm doing it all day long? So, you know, answering, questions. What if I said all the emails that I send today, I hope that everyone finds a little extra peace who receives that email. You know, something a little sweet that you don't have to say it in the email, but you can think, I hope that who gets this email has some peace today, especially if there's something somebody's actually hurting. But I mean, even just generally, you're training your mind to make everything that you do imbued with virtue and happiness and peacefulness. And it can change your life. Think of something else mundane. Just shout something out.
Laundry.
I love to fold clothes. I don't like to do dishes. See, I'd fold clothes for a living if I could do that. I could do that, I guess. Right? You could bring your clothes here and I'd fold them for all of you. Fresh out of the dryer, though. I don't want them all wrinkled. I even like to iron, but I don't do it. Yeah. See? Crazy, right? But I hate to vacuum. So bad mind when I'm vacuuming, happy mind when I'm folding. Silly. Why? So if you're folding laundry, it's like you can do all kinds of things like I have clothes, you know, I have clothes to wear. I'm happy that I live in a place where I can wash them. They're really clean. They smell great. I wish that everybody, so the Mahayana would be adding a little zing to it all. I wish that everybody had the clothes that they wanted. I wish that everybody had clothes. There's a story in the Poisonwood Bible, or just a little snippet that said, she said, remind me if you've read it, it was something like, I have something about pants, and he said, how did it go about pockets? Who remembers that? Something about, I don't even have pockets. And he said, I don't even have pants or something. No, because he wasn't standing there naked. So what was that? But it was something so, she was complaining about something and he was saying, I don't even have the basic things. And you're complaining about something really mundane. So I'm not going to say like, don't complain about it because, you know, we don't want to say, just think of everybody else who's suffering. But if you add a little love to it, like I wish that, does it make you feel kind of happy just thinking about it? Okay, one more thing. What's another mundane thing? Flossing. Cool. You have teeth? So do you see the pattern that we're doing here? You start off with a grateful thing, like an Oprah moment, and then you turn it into a mindful, like a mindful moment, and then a Mahayana moment. So we're grateful, wonderful. That's very, you can see that on every magazine. But now we're going to add something to it and say, I wish that everybody had healthy teeth, that they could, you know, that they had dental floss, that they lived in a place where they could have good dental care. So while you're doing it, you think of other people, and it starts to be less mundane because you're happy while you're doing it. Could you see it happening? Could you kind of feel a little, So think about this week some things that you can change a little bit, like the water's too hot. Remember, the water's too cold. Well, you have water. You can get it hot. Unless everybody else has had a shower, then it's really difficult. Okay, so remember, did we talk about, like, if you wanted to go to D.C., what's the first thing that has to happen? Because you have to get gas, and you have to plan the trip and all that. But what's the very original thing? Julie probably knows the answer to this.
The intention.
You have to actually have wanted to go to D.C. Like, it, does that sound so silly that it doesn't even make sense? Say something about it.
It does. You have to have, before you can make a cup of coffee, you have to have that thought that actually folds a protein and makes the whole wave of everything, and it makes it happen. So you have to have a thought to proceed anything, whether it's good or bad. And if you're able to control your thoughts, you're able to make good choices and not do things you may have not, that may not be nice.
And good coffee, right?
And make really good coffee.
That's a really good way to put that, because if you, so how many people drink coffee? I'm too much of a wuss. I can't even handle it. I used to own a coffee shop, right? And somebody said, oh my God, you know, how much coffee have you had? And I just went, I don't drink coffee. I was embarrassed because I own a coffee shop. And they said, oh my God, you wake up like this? Yeah, sorry. I felt really embarrassed. Like, I'm sorry, I wake up happy. How hard is it to convince yourself that you have to make the coffee? Does it take a lot of effort to think, oh my God, I have to make coffee again? Well, that's a whole other discussion. That's a whole, you know, I mean, we're just talking about the intention. So is it difficult to decide that you want to make the coffee? You just kind of go like this, right? Make coffee. And you kind of, I mean, are you a little bit happy to do it because you want it bad, right? You don't even think about it. So the teachers tell us that that is only because you've done it and you know you want it and you have the intention to do it. It's not difficult. That is not different than being really happy to fold your laundry and to do your emails and to floss. It's just having been happy long enough doing it. And then there'll be a day when you will just be folding laundry like me. And maybe, I don't know, I could vacuum happily. It has never happened yet. I don't know why, but I can't stand vacuum. But that's the goal, is that if you trust that if you do something with intention, and with adding that zing to it, with that desire to want to do it, because you're attached to coffee, so you can actually get attached to virtuous thoughts. That's not a negative attachment.
So you think I wish
Andrew Paulson had coffee? Sure, if they need it. Don't wish for me to have coffee, honey. That would be really scary. Okay. You wish that all sentient beings who needed something, who loved a cup of coffee, had a nice steaming cup of coffee. It doesn't, you can walk down the toothpaste aisle and say, may all beings have all the toothpaste they need, you know? A lot of places don't have any toothpaste. We have, how many kinds of toothpaste do we have? How many kinds of coffee do we have?
I'm still having difficulty emptying my mind during meditation, and somehow the idea of trying to set an intention which you want to hold on to, or which I feel like I need to hold on to, is counterproductive.
Okay,
to
let's break that down. So A, it's setting the intention is just setting it, and then it's there it is. So may I da 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 da, over, right? So that's done. That's the part of the meditation. And now we're just meditating. So how many people, or who wants to talk about, are we trying to empty our mind? Laura, is it's really that's really tricky, and that's what most people think. So just, let's go ahead.
No, I thought the idea was that you're just trying to, like, experience your thoughts and what emotions are attached to them.
If you decide that this meditation is about experiencing a thought, yes. But if you decide that you want to control your thoughts, you can't just experience all of them or you will be back in the monkey mind, right? So there are meditations where you don't experience it, but you say, grocery, car, driving, remember potatoes? What was it? Jaguar. So you're trying. I would think the point would be to control those thoughts so that we have control of the thoughts, because right now the thoughts have control of us. So emptying the mind isn't actually something that we can do, because it is a mind and it cognizes. You can't have it be empty. So it's the most exciting thing I love to say in here over and over again, is to relieve the pressure of thinking that you have to, because then you won't feel like you're not a success. So when you feel like I can't do this, it's because that's not what you're trying to do. Like, it's really beautiful if you grab a hold of that. And most people think, I can't get my mind empty, so they feel like a failure. So go out there and tell people, no, it's not about that. It's about having those thoughts arise and you don't pay attention to them. But when you're doing an analytical meditation, you're saying, I'm going to think about this. As we've used my fun example of always look on the bright side of life. I'm going to think about that. That's what I'm going to think about. But if I'm not analyzing, I'm trying to not focus. Laura's really giving me some looks.
Because I missed last week. Are you going to talk about the different, like, focus versus whatever, analytical? Did you already do that?
We did it, but we're going to do it again.
We're going to do it again.
Because we have to hear that a lot. Yes.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, with the empty mind, all I can think of now is, like, when I started meditating, I had really bad monkey mind. And, yeah, I just did the counting and the seeing the numbers and the counting down and, you know, counting every breath in, out, and everything. Like, it's just waited out, you know. But it should get at least less. Like, your blood pressure goes down, your heart rate goes down, and it should slow down.
But I think the strong association from hearing, very carefully hearing these words, it's not about emptying the mind. It's about, how did you say it? Disciplining the thoughts. Those thoughts should the grip will loosen. And so if you change your goal, if you think you need to empty your mind, then that's a goal that's too hard that's not what we're trying to do, so you can't attain that. Because it's going to keep cognizing. It's a mind. You are just trying to get...
Okay, so I read the Scientific American Mind article, right? And, like, there's a little structure in our heads that says, okay, this is what we're going to do. Then there's a different structure that says... that checks, are we doing it? Are we doing it? Are we doing it? And then when it comes up, it says, no, we're not doing it anymore. Then it tells a third structure, go get it back.
Yeah.
Right? So you're supposed to be, like, happy when you catch your mind wandering and you go back, you're getting stronger.
Yes.
So whatever your focus. So you're building more white matter, whatever, tracks and stuff.
Yeah, that's the muscle. You're building the muscle that says, it's really good when you find yourself wandering. So as we said in the very beginning, one, I'm counting breaths. Two, and you're going along, and then you go seven, nine. Yeah, I'm hungry. So nine is when you know you're skipping because you don't even know what number you're on, and then the thoughts come, and then so you remember that there's a thought that arises, jaguar, attractive person, love the car. That's a thought. The story is everything else that you want to happen. I want the jaguar, attachment. I hate the jaguar, aversion, Mac, PC, you know, you've got aversion, attachment, the attractive person, the whole story, it could be your ex-wife, your ex-husband, it could be, you know, like anything could be happening, and the story is huge. So not only are you trying to shut down the story, you just can, that thought arises and it goes, it's like, does that help?
Yeah, I think.
I see a little, like, oh, can you give her the...
I think I was more referring to the idea of bringing in an idea. This has all been helpful.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So but the intention, you just set it and then you leave it, do the meditation and then dedicate it.
I guess my comment was, it feels slightly more advanced than where I feel I am now.
I don't know. No problem. Then The intention can be nothing more than may this meditation be beneficial. And then dedication, I hope that it was beneficial. Can be very simple. So, good. Anything else? Yes.
I would like to say that when I first started meditating, like seriously, I did it like for 30, 40 days, didn't skip. I didn't do really any analytical. I just did the breathing. And, of course, you know, your mind jumps back and forth, what I call the jibber-jabber that just goes on. And the more that I sat down, I'd read my little prayer first, set my intention, I'd set a timer, and I would just sit there, and if a thought came up, I'd do the counting, maybe 1 to 21, maybe 3 times. And then I would go to, if the thoughts would come back, I would just start going in and just ride the breath down, in. And somehow the in would shut some of the jibber-jabber up. But the more I did it every single morning, the quieter it became in my head. And I didn't have any expectations. Like one day I my pants weren't fitting right or something, and I got real wiggly, but I just made it through it. And I can say that it's made a big difference in feeling like, you know, I don't feel like I was a success, but I don't feel like you can't be a failure is if you're just doing what you're supposed to do.
Do you remember the first week we talked about you can't do this wrong? It's just learning. You're just trying to get used to yourself. So be really patient and kind and have fun with it. Okay. Thank you, Julie. That was great. Lama Yeshe tells us, it's a quote that we say a lot here, and so you guys might not have heard it before, but everything begins on the tip of a wish. And again, it's one of those things that sounds like a nice little, oh, that's sweet. But that is so powerful, because if you don't have a wish, like going to D.C., nothing will happen. You have to actually want something. You have to have a thought for anything to happen. Like, it's really extremely powerful. But it just doesn't seem like it's that much. And when you start unpacking this week, like, think about it. Everything that begins, so if you wanted to have a GoFundMe campaign, you'd have to have the wish. If you want to walk down the street, you have to get up. I mean, like, literally, there's so much that has to happen for everything to happen. So you can actually use that information to wish for things, for your mind to be clear. I mean, like, all of this, you know, not free from thoughts, but clear and knowing is the basis of the mind. And so here's a quote from Shantideva, who's one of the teachers of the 8th century, I think. 9th century, 800s. Whatever joy there is in the world all comes from desiring others to be happy. And whatever suffering there is in this world all comes from desiring myself to be happy. Alone, meaning alone, only happy by yourself. Not by yourself, but just, I want to be happy, so I'm going to do it my way. So it's, in this tradition, we talk a lot about wanting others to be happy, and that can be the reason we're meditating, so that we can radiate some of this out. Okay, the dedication. This is a way of sealing and directing the positive energy. So the teachers tell us, and I can't say that I actually get this, but I trust that it's a way of sealing, they use that word a lot, sealing the positive energy of whatever that meditation did, or even your activity, if we talked about flossing, that one has created, so that it ripens in a positive way in the future. Because we're creating these habits, so virtuous actions lead to more virtuous actions because you've created the habit, and non-virtuous actions. So if you think of a stream, and you put gold in your stream, then gold flows down the stream. If you poo in your stream, what goes down the stream? It's not going to be gold. And so you are, it's your stream. Like, nobody else is pooing in your stream. Just feels like it. But it can't happen that way. You might not want to walk around and quote me, but we can leave some of this here. A way of sealing and, so we said that. It can protect. So this is an interesting way to say this. It can protect the positive energy of one's actions from dissipating or being destroyed. That's an unusual way to say that. So because you're, what is it a good way? Like, I really like this. I really want this to happen again. Or you're putting that attention right there. I want this to happen. I hope that what I did was beneficial. So you're giving it a little extra power because that's helping the brain, the mind, get better at doing it again. So all these things matter, the intention and the dedication. So if you were setting dye in a cloth, if you didn't set the dye would be there, but it would fade out. So if you set the dye with heat, maybe, or with whatever ways there are setting dye, I don't know what they are, heat, vinegar. So whatever chemical process or material process you would do, you're setting the dye, and then the dye is in that fabric. And that means it's going to stay there longer. It's not just going to be, I mean, you know, if you try to meditate and you just do it here and there, it's going to, probably won't last. But if you really give it your all, it's going to be better. Kind of simple. And Geshla talks about hitting the save button on your computer. We can all relate to that one. If we don't hit anything, it's there for a minute, but then it can be gone. So did anybody have to find a nice place in your home to practice? Like, did you go and make a special place? Good, good. Did that help? Yeah. Good. So you found your place. And did I don't know if I mentioned it, but you can change it for a while to try different places because you might find some are better than others. So when you're new, you might want to pop around to different parts of your house. I don't know how many places you have in your house, but some people use a closet. If you haven't thought of that before, it can be kind of, that can be very quieting. The clothing is a really cool baffling. Make it like really hush, hush. Okay, so the next thing we're going to do is something we didn't get to do last week because they put so much in last week's session, is do a breakout session. So you're going to just turn and be two or three people and discuss specifically the benefits in daily life that you've begun to notice for meditation. And then you're going to bring examples from the other people back, so you have to actually remember what they said. So just turn to each other and get groups of two or three and discuss the benefits of meditation in your daily life. And don't beat yourself up if you're not meditating. You could talk about something virtuous. All right. Get your last thoughts in. Who's going to go first? Got chocolate on the line. Okay, you want to go first? Sweet. She wants the chocolate. Can she have one? Oh, it hit her hand. Sweet. Close.
So I have this thing at school. It's called the Foursquare, and it helps you when you're feeling stressed and like you can't get your work done. Like there's something hard in your work that you have to do, but you feel like you can't do it. So what you do is you breathe in for 4 seconds, and then you hold it for 4 seconds. And then you breathe out slowly for 4 seconds, and then you hold for 4 seconds.
Oh.
Just be still.
Did your teacher teach you this? Is it something that is part of the curriculum, like it's something that that you know to do in class?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. I just want to go paint a square on the floor and say, go in the square. You know? Go stand in it for a minute. Is it actually a spot? Oh, so it's not like a physical thing that you stand in. You just think about it. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. Does it help you? How does it help you? Here comes Julie.
It really helps.
When you do it, what do you feel is changing?
Like it will be easier to do the hard part in my work when I go back to try again.
What do you think is makes it easier? Mom's feeding her. Because
how do you feel different?
I feel like I can do it.
Yeah, because you feel like you can. Mm-hmm. That's important. I mean, wouldn't we all want to feel like I can do that? Sometimes it's, my daughter sent me off with my first, in my yoga training, with this quote inside the box that said, nothing's ever as hard as you think it is. Like she was 8, and I thought, okay. Thank you. Because like something can just feel so hard, and then if we just calm down and we get a grip on something, it's like it's never really that hard. Never. I mean, like, rarely is it as hard as we think it is. I mean, rocket science probably is, but I don't have to do that here. So. Thank you very much. Okay, who else? So, report on your partner. Give me something that your partner said. Okay. Should have given it after he talked, right?
Okay, so Laura starts her day with meditations to have, you know, positive flow throughout her day and to warm herself up in the morning. So she starts off, it's early in the morning and stuff like that, so she's cold. But she also told me about prostrations. Did I say that right?
Prostrations. We say that sometimes. I'm going to do my prostrations. What's wrong with that?
It is morning time, but no, which I never heard of before, and so I'm pretty interested in learning about that kind of stuff and moving forward with things like that. I think that was really cool. So nice talking to somebody else about it.
Good, good. Laura, do you want to reciprocate?
Do I have to? I'm talking.
Nope. Enough. Okay. Who else wants to offer what their partner's benefits were from meditating?
Oh.
Oh! Oh my God! I'm so sorry. Yes. I hit him right on the head. He said they're frisbee, not softball.
Kyle over here was telling me about a day that he was just feeling kind of bummy, and he just went and meditated, and it just kind of helped kind of clear his head, and because there wasn't really any reason to feel bummy and kind of aggravated for no reason, so he just meditated, and it kind of got him in a clear mind, and he got a chance to talk to one of his best friends have a good conversation with one of his best friends that he hadn't in a long time.
Because he was settled, right?
Yeah.
Good. That's great. Yeah. Was that Kyle? This Kyle?
This Kyle.
Okay. I'm looking this way. Was this way? Good. So that's, you got yourself in a place where you could then have a really settled conversation. Good. Anybody else? You scared? Duck? I can't get any further. I think it's not heavy enough to go. It doesn't weigh enough.
So Megan likes to meditate at the end of the day just because she struggles with stress and anxiety, and so it helps her process it and calm down at the end of the day instead of, like, just sitting there and dwelling on her thoughts.
Good.
So it just helps control that.
There's a practice. Somebody out there was looking at a little yellow booklet. Who was that? They had it in their hand, the little yellow booklet on the free rack. Okay, it was a mysterious guest. Was it you? Yeah. So that is a purification process that in this tradition that you can do at night, and you go review your day, and then you you use these four potent powers to let things go, and it's this whole wonderful practice about how you can end your day. Let's make it simple. And then if you would like to take that, you can have that out there. It's a little yellow booklet. It will take you through a mantra, a 100-syllable mantra, which is long. But it's really cool. So at the end of your day, it's a beautiful way to let things go. Yeah. Some people have a harder time because they're too revved up, but then you can use it. Yeah. Good. Thank you. Who else? Oop, that's the tea. Throw the tea. Anybody else want to share something their partner said? Okay. We'll move on. So let's just revisit some things that Laura mentioned when we talk about the different ways to meditate and why. That the concentration meditation is when we're breathing, we are concentrating. And so it always, again, these things sound so simple, but it's so important because when you get ready to do an analytical meditation, if you don't have any concentration, you're just using your thinking mind. So the concentration comes in, and we'll just revisit this example again of, trying to think of some poetry or something, like, may all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. And then you pause. And so you're just thinking about that. You're doing an analysis. And we've discovered that analysis really does help the ADD mind, the very rattled, crazy mind, because I'm going to think about this. So you can think in this part. But you're only thinking about this. May all beings have happiness. Like, wow, that would be awesome if all beings had happiness. And the causes of happiness. What are the causes of happiness? Besides chocolate and ice cream and roller skates and... Those aren't the causes of true happiness. A previous moment of virtue will ripen in happiness in the future. So you're actually wishing that all beings have a virtuous mind that will ripen in happiness in the future. It gets really huge and beautiful, right? So you're thinking about that. Now let's say you're thinking about using your thinking mind. You're thinking, thinking, and you're having this like, oh. And it starts to move you like your heart is moved and you think, not think, you feel something strong. Like, wow, I really do wish that all beings, or something comes up. When you have the ability to concentrate fully for as long as you want, even if it's just like in the first levels of meditation for a minute, for 30 seconds without no other things arising or controlling those things that are arising, if you can place all your attention on that feeling, that's when the teachers tell us something truly amazing is going to happen. Because then you're getting an experiential realization of that, not just the thinking. Because right now all we're doing is thinking. We're talking about it. We're thinking about it. That is great. But the next level is that experiential. It's a really, oh my God, that's what that's about. And it moves your heart. It changes you. And you're not the same person after you have these kind of beautiful realizations. They can be very deep realizations. They can be very fleeting. Sometimes it's just like, and then it's so gone so fast. You know what I mean by that? Like you get it, but you don't even know what it was, but it's such a good feeling. So the reason I want to just bear in on this is if you have concentration, you can stay with the feeling and it won't be fleeting. It's all fleeting, right? Is anybody ever able to hold that fleeting, lovely sensation for very long? So I'm here to tell you in making a sales pitch that you can. I don't, but I've heard you can. We've talked about Venerable Rene. He's actually been here before. He is one of our amazing meditators. He's known for his ability to meditate. So he's the one they use in the book Destructive Emotions, and they experimented on his brain, put him into CAT scans, put him into all kinds of apparatuses. And his mind he's so able to concentrate that have you ever been in a room where a gun is shot? My dad actually, he thought he heard something when I was really young, and so he got his gun out and walked around the house with my mom and him clutching his, you know, behind him. And then he always would just aim it and discharge it to make sure there was nothing in there. Well, he just does that by rote, and it had a bullet in the chamber. God. And we were in the stairwell, which was like, the sound is just kind of unbelievable. It just stayed and stayed and stayed. It was very frightening. I have the bullet in my scrapbook. It went through the walls and hit my window blind and hit the floor. Because it went all the way through the stairwell. So the point is, the sound was so overwhelming that you can't, you know, you scream because it's so shocking. Well, they shot a bullet past Venerable Rene's head, and he just went, did you even see that? Like his eyebrows went up instead of like, you know, we would scream and jump up and do all kinds of crazy things. Not only did his eyebrows not furrow like, oh my God, you know, what was that? They went up meaning, huh. And he said, it was like a little bird. Because it didn't distract him.
How close was he?
They shot it right by his head. Probably not like this, but you know. I don't think he felt the... So he just... But that his ability to concentrate, he was focused, and he could not be distracted by a bullet going off. We're not there. So, you know, someone making coffee in the other room distracts us. The point is that I just want you to get from that little bleh, is that concentration is what we're trying to go for because it is so important. And so when we are concentrating, that is one type of meditation. When we're doing analysis, it's another type. Then we can put concentration onto analysis. Does that make sense? So just the breath is concentration. We've talked about being able to focus on a holy image or a flower or a potato. You could sit there with a potato and look at the colors and get very deeply involved in the potato. The dependent origination of where that potato came from can be an amazing meditation. And that takes concentration and focus. Okay? Next, we're supposed to do the purification of with light. I think this is a pretty cool one. So get ready for the cool meditation. So this is a way to, I think, cleanse the energy in your body. So slip into your nice quiet place with breathing or counting the breaths or a little bit of 9-round breathing, bringing yourself to a deeper focus and concentration. And now that you know how to set your motivation, you can set this so that many beings can benefit from your meditation right now. And then we begin the meditation by focusing our attention on our breath again, breathing normally, naturally. And then focus on the complete duration of each inhalation and exhalation, the entire breath. As you exhale, imagine that all your negative energy, past mistakes, distorted conceptions, and disturbed emotions leave your body with the breath. Visualize this negative energy as black smoke. And then send it out into space where it disappears completely. And just keep doing this over and over, breathing in. And when you breathe out, black smoke that contains all these negative thoughts leaves you completely. It doesn't harm anyone else. Feel confident, gain confidence that you're gradually freeing yourself from these traces of negativities, sicknesses, delusions, and faults. As you inhale, imagine that all the positive energy in the universe enters your body with the breath in the form of pure, radiant white light. Visualize this light flowing through your nostrils, down into your body, and into every part and corner of your body, pervading every cell, every atom, every organ. Imagine your body becoming clearer and clearer, lighter and lighter, transparent. You begin to feel more relaxed, very light, blissful. Continue with this, and when you're distracted, just observe the distractions without reacting or getting involved, and imagine they too transform into black smoke and breathe them out into oblivion. And then dedicate the energy and the positive, clear state of mind to the benefit of all sentient beings. I really like this one. Does this work for most of you? I don't find many people who go like that. I don't like that one. I think it's something that just feels so positive to do, and it's so simple. The other suggestions they have, and I used to make this one up when I taught yoga, is you can imagine you're laying like on the beach and your legs are touching the water. Makes you feel good, doesn't it? And every time the waves come up, it brings you all this clean, fresh energy. And as it, because you can almost feel the sucking motion of that wave, and then it can draw, even like the salt water, you know, cleanses and draws the negativity from you. So you can do it in meditation, excuse me, where you're imagining that. So that idea of coming and going. You can do a waterfall. Imagine you're sitting in a waterfall. Just don't make it too powerful. You'll feel like you're drowning. And just let the waterfall cleanse you. You can imagine like balls of light that the different chakras, like if you wanted to do the heart one, you can imagine green. Start it out like a little ball and let it grow. And then just let it fill your whole body with that color. And it can push on out and it can just keep going. You know, you can send that kind of joy and love out. So those are different ways to do that. Did you actually feel that kind of sense of lightness from it? Did anybody worry about the black smoke was harming other people? Yep. My two gals. It doesn't. So it's funny. Beginners a lot of times think, I'm so toxic. Or just that it's negativity is going out. So whatever you need to do to help yourself feel good about it, just imagine it dissipates. It doesn't linger, you know. Don't make it feel too heavy, okay? Because it's you don't want to focus on that part. But that's common. So when we were talking about Venerable Renee and the bullet, there's a lot of strange powers that monks have. Like, let's say, have you heard of monks sitting in the snow before and the frozen, I think they put frozen blankets on them or something. How kind. And then they meditated and the blankets just melted. Have you guys heard of that? It's pretty famous. So that is from the power of meditation. But they, while these things are really cool and there's amazing things that can happen once you gain this clear, like this sense of clarity that can come from meditation, that it's not really about those powers. It's about the kindness and the compassion that's arising. So while it's really cool and it sounds like superhuman stuff, even when you feel this sense of lightness after this meditation, you probably even feel kinder, right? Like things feel like you could be nicer, like Kyle did when he settled his mind down in the, what did you call it? The blimey, the blummy, the bummy, bummy feelings, bummy feelings, which makes you feel more open to helping others. So that meditation is and can be more beneficial to so many people because we're getting to a better place. And so that is the point of it. So who's got something to say about all that? It was all pretty self-contained, right? You want to say something? Yeah. Yeah? Wait for the microphone.
I think it's contagious. When I feel calmer, everyone around me seems to be calm. You know, it's just easy to share that feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did this, like, meditation one time. I just made it up. But if you if you imagine at work, and you can just do this in meditation with yourself, like create a little story. So you imagine you're sitting in an office or someone sitting in an office and you or someone put yourself in it. You walk in and you just give it to somebody and you're like, even if you're not complaining about something they did, but you just say something negative that happened to you, you're just complaining. And if the next thing they do is they receive a phone call from, let's say, their spouse, and it's like this sense is sort of in the room, right? It's kind of negative energy. And they might say something that they wouldn't have said had all that not happened. They might just go, I don't want to stop at the store. Like, I always have to, can't you stop at the store? You know, that little bit of little dialogue going on. Then that person walks in the room of somebody else. Like, it just keeps going. So it can be a little overwhelming and sad. So then you want to turn around and do it with something positive too. So you want to do, like, I walk into the room and I say something happy. Yeah, Kyle? Good for them.
What I feel like would be pretty good
Good.
So, like, when I come home to my apartment and my roommates are there, typically, like, if one of us comes in saying, like, oh, man, class really sucked today, or, like, man, it's so cold outside, I hate it, then the other person will go, oh, yeah, like, my class, this sucked, too, and, man, like, the weather is, like, really getting me down. But then when you do the opposite, like, oh, I learned this really cool thing in class today, then, like, my roommate will be like, yeah, like, I learned something really cool today, too. And it sort of goes from person to person as well. So, like,
yeah, I got kind of goosebumps thinking about it, you know?
Yeah.
That's so happy to think about it like that. And sometimes we really don't know the end of that, you know? When you think about it, like, sometimes things are encapsulated in an apartment. But when you think about an office, it's like it just keeps going, right? And so if you put the joy out there, too, it doesn't end. It's nice to think about it, even if you wanted to do some kind of, like, the person who benefits the most from cherishing others is who? You. Yeah, you guys got that. So you can picture it going all the way around the world and, like, coming back to you so that you're putting it into your, like, you're in a fish pond. Like, we think of the ocean as its own container. The fish are in it, but we're in our container of air. So whatever we do in this environment, we have to live in it. And so a lot of times we don't think about the negativity, but if we put negativity out, it's for us too. And so that's a really good example of walking in and saying something positive about your day, and not just, the first thing is not just complaining, because it's so easy to do. Some people even ask, why is it that we have so much propensity to do that, and what's the answer? And then you can say, what's the reason it's so much easier to do complain?
It's a human survival mechanism. We evolved to where...
Well, I was just going to say habit, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, like, evolutionary...
But yours is right.
Well, like, we evolved to, like, deal with problems and to also, like, you know, part of our anxiety is because whenever we're faced with a problem, if we're in a place where we can't, you know, find a way to address the problem, then that creates these negative feedback loops, which in turn, instead of feeling like anxious and angry because you can't fix the problem, you're also feeling anxious and angry because you're feeling anxious and angry about the problem. So that's why we have those.
Yeah.
And it's not the Stone Age anymore, which I sometimes forget, but it's like, I don't have to, you know, think like this. I can evolve. I'm not a caveman.
Right. That's a great point. I can evolve. Good, good. Yeah.
I think people connect with negative things with each other very easily, too. They're like, bonding in the struggle, especially when a class is really hard or something. They're like, we hate this class, but we're going to spend hours together studying. And then you create a bond.
I feel like
if someone's like, I'm upset about this, I'm upset about something similar. Let's share this feeling. I feel like that's why a lot of conversations turn
probably
into
hormones, too. Like, it makes us feel like we're more connected at some level. Mm-hmm. And then if you're the chipper one, you know, and you come in, not everybody wants to hear that. Yes, I felt that. Like, are you always this happy? Geshe-la asked me that one time. I was driving him somewhere, and he said, Ju, are you always this happy? I was so new, and I said, well, not when I'm crying. I mean, I cry, too. I get really upset, but it was really cute, you know, and I was just so new to it, but I went, this stuff really works. I'm driving, right? I'm driving a teacher, which is very nerve-wracking. I'm like, you know, this stuff really works. And he's just, it does, Ju. But it does. This stuff really works. Like, if you apply it, it's not going to not work. You're going to go in the office and you're going to have a better mind, right? Good. Okay, well, let's dedicate. I don't know if we set our intention. Did we do that? We hear this all the time. We're like, oh, I forgot to set my intention. Or we set our intention and we forget to dedicate. So we're like halfway there most of the time. So bookending it. So everything that you've had a lot of little aha moments. I've watched your faces. And just let that cook all week long, and so that everybody will benefit from you coming here tonight. You made the decision. You're committed. You've hung in for class 4 of 5. You don't have the flu. You're here. people are dropping like flies all over, getting sick. So be grateful, you know, that you could make it here tonight. I'm grateful that you came and shared this time. And so I hope that everything that we did does ripple out and not end, like it just keeps going and going and going. Peace out. Thank you. Thank you.